Hey, what is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, back for episode 33. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Look, I received a tremendous amount of love and support from the last podcast. Man, what God did with it, I couldn't have imagined it. But then again, like I always say, I don't do this for accolades, hand claps. I generally do this, man. Literally, the only reason I do this is so God can use it to change lives. So I'm just honored to be a conduit, a vessel that he can use, a mouthpiece to go and preach the gospel to the nations. Look, thank you guys, man, because the more you share it, the more you support it, the further this thing reaches. Again, I told you guys, I think we are in like 10 or 11 countries at the moment. That's all due to your love and support and you guys sharing this message, sharing the link, you know, just loving it, sending in, you know, I get people that donate and sponsor, man. So thank you guys so much for being proud supporters of the Unchained Podcast. It means the world to me. Again, if you guys feel like it doesn't benefit you, hey, so be it. But if you know of somebody who can benefit from the message that God has given me to bring forth, then share it. If you want to help take it across the world, then of course, like I said, you can donate it at Cash App, and that's $ no chains on me with a Z. That's Cash App, you know, that's $ no chains on me with a Z. Or you can go to anchor.fm/unchained and you can pick out a monthly contribution that best suits your budget. Again, thank you guys. If you want to give something more intimate, you know, I had somebody drop an amazing gift last week. Shout out to you, bro. Love you much. I'm glad that I was able to bless you with the word of God. Thank you so much. However, again, for those of you again who want to who are looking for our different methods, again, that you can message me through anchor.fm slash unchained, or you can send me an email that's at my name, Keelan, K-E-L-L-O-N, at no chains on me, and that's chains with the Z. That's Keelan at no chains on me. Again, thank you guys very much. Also, the new website is up and running, so if you guys want to know, you know, what I do, you know, if you guys want more information about coaching or programming, or if you guys and look, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not trying to be arrogant, I promise you I'm not, but I do have some speaking engagements coming up, praise God. So if you want to book me, you can go to as a matter of fact, if you have Facebook, my link is right there in my bio. Just click the link and then you can pull up the website. But this is a long website. I'm sorry. I'll throw it down here somewhere in the video if I can remember to. But it's https://// www.nochainsonme.com, and that's chains with a Z. I'm gonna say that one more time: https://// www.nochainsonme.com, and this chains with a Z. Again, thank you guys for tuning in, supporting, watching, all the comments. I'm so glad that I'm able to help feed you guys, man. Praise God for that. Again, moving on, man, I don't really have any announcements right now. Everything else will be plastered all over social media. Yes, I will end up blowing social media out of the water. Sorry, not sorry. But anyway, like I said, I'm the only one man wearing the hat, so it is what it is. However, today's message, again, still personal. I'm going to try not to get emotional on this one as much as I did on the last one, but, you know, it is what it is. Moving forward, you know, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this particular opportunity to be able to just be a mouthpiece for you, Father God, that I'm a vessel, that I'm able to speak to people who are in search of the truth, the true word of God. Now, those who are seeking to find an intimate relationship with you, those who are seeking to know you, those who are seeking to just get a glimpse of your grace and mercy, Father God, somewhere for them to place their faith. Father, you know that you gave me this word with no judgment, no bias, no religiosity. You gave me the courage to use myself as personal testimony, and I'm glad you've given me a creative and effective way, Father God, to spread the gospel, to make it relevant to the listener, Father God, that there is no judgment, no condemnation in what I teach and how you gave me to teach it, Father God. So I pray that this particular word, that it is seed and that it is implanted. I trust you to water it, Father God. May it grow down in the root of the Spirit and may it produce fruit, Father God. In your precious and holy name, I pray, amen and amen. So today, man, I got two verses for you. First one is Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. This Proverbs 4 chapter, Proverbs 4, sorry, verse 23 through 27. And then Psalms 1, verse 1. Psalms 1, verse 1, that's the second one. I'm going to read, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and read both first. And then I got something I want to share, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead from there, because I don't want to get lost in what I'm trying to say, because this one is completely organic. There's no notes for this one, y'all. Shame on me, because I'm better with notes. But anyway, here we go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful, which is lying and misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Okay, I'm sorry, let me read that again. Put away from you a deceitful, which is lying and misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn away to the right nor to the left, where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. All right. And then Psalms 1, verse 1, and it says, blessed, which means fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, which means following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit, which means down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers, those who mock God. I'm gonna read that one more time. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. May God add his richness and blessings to this word. All right, so I want to start with making this comment, and that is, I told somebody this the other day, and they said, wow, I didn't catch that. But I'm going to say this. God gave me this word, and this word is, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. Allow me to elaborate, please. A week and a half ago, my grandfather passed away. You guys heard me, talk about him fighting cancer and him staying strong and him, you know, he was just a phenomenal and great man of God. He didn't do chemo. I think he lasted almost 2.5 years after he was given a 6-month sentence to death. You know, he never missed an opportunity to make a joke. However, when I got the news of his passing, I didn't know how to take it. I didn't find myself emotional. I didn't find myself angry. I didn't find myself anything. It was almost like, yeah, I knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming. I had been to see him a couple times and stay and visit for several hours upon the visit and just talk with him and shared my heart about what God is doing in my life and the path that he's created for me. And, just... My purpose was made it's been made so clear to me this year. And, you know, I just want to share that with him. And upon my last conversations with my grandfather, I remember him saying how proud he was of me. And it's not like he's never said it before, because he did. I'm just at the age where I could appreciate it. And it was like one of the first times that I had a male father figure in my life give me a nod to approve, that what I was doing was worthy of. I don't know. I guess you can just say that it was worthy of praise. However, if you know me, I'm not in this for the accolades of men or the praises of men. However, you know, I grew up without a blueprint to fatherhood. But just to stay on topic, you know, what God had relayed to me, this past Wednesday, as we're getting ready to bury my grandfather, that word was, it's not what you think. And so I want to take just a few moments to unpack this message in a way that is digestible, transformative and life-changing. So I want to unpack the statement first with a short story. And when I say that I didn't feel anything when my grandfather passed, I don't say that in a mean way. I do say it in a way that I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know how to feel. Yeah, I expected it, but there was no emotion that came over me. And coming from somebody who's wired to have emotions, or who is emotional, very expressive, I didn't feel anything except for this nagging feeling of energy that I had in this pocket of my chest that I couldn't shake. It didn't matter what, you know, how much praise and worship time I had. It didn't matter how much prayer time I had. It didn't matter how many verses I read or how many conversations I had. I could not shake the feeling. And it was almost like this feeling of anxiousness was just piercing my chest, and I couldn't put a finger on it. And I had, you know, had some relaxed time. I did some meditation time, and the feeling would come and go. It would come and go. And I really had to pray. I was like, Lord, I don't know what this is. So I give my heart to you. Please examine my heart. Tell me if there's any foul way within me, anything that is opposing you. Please show me what this is. And of course, the Lord in his own time, he took his sweet time. He didn't really show me automatically. But I can tell you this, the morning of my grandfather's service and burial, which was this past Wednesday, I had gone to work out. And for some reason, I had woke up that morning a little bit disturbed, a little angry. And I knew why. I perceived that I was angry because there was some stuff going on in my personal life that was just absolutely stupid. But I'm going to leave that to myself. However, I did perceive myself to be a little bit upset, and I couldn't put a finger on that. But as I had gone to work out, I couldn't finish because I couldn't focus. I couldn't concentrate. I was like, you know, Lord, this isn't right. I need to go pray. And so on my way, you know, back to, you know, take a shower, you know, I was on my way back to shower, and I had showered. I was getting dressed, and I was in the mirror, and I was, you know, I was brushing my teeth. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord say in my spirit that this is not that. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, Lord, but could you please elaborate? And so I continue to brush my teeth, and he says, I need you to hear me, son. This is not that. And I'm still confused as to what he's meaning. I said, Lord, can you please tell me what this means? He says, your father leaving you, your biological father leaving you, has absolutely nothing to do with your grandfather passing. And so what had been going on in my subconscious, which in this text, it talks about your heart, what had been going on in my heart was that I was perceiving the fact that I was being abandoned again. Now, my grandfather wasn't abandoning me. My grandfather had an awesome life. He did everything that he was called to do on this earth. At least I believe he did. I'm not sure there was many accolades he could have left off the table. My grandfather was great. He was an awesome man of God. He served others. He loved others. He was a picturesque example of embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. My grandfather to me was a mighty man of valor, a gentle giant. He was everything to me, but I know he's not, you know, it's earth's loss, but it's heaven's gain. That's a real statement, you know, but in my own subconscious mind, in my heart, I perceived that I was being abandoned again, but I did not consciously perceive that. And so it caught me off guard so much so that I began to cry as I was, you know, wrapping up this little teeth brushing session. And I had sat down on the bed, and, I had just literally felt this this release, like God had just lifted the burden off my shoulder, because I began to weep and I was like, okay, God, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. He's like, don't be sorry. You don't have to be sorry. And at that moment, I understood, you know, like healing is now time to take the mantle, to take your family to the next dimension. Like, it's now your time. And so I made the comment that I don't know if I'm ready. And God's like, what do you mean you don't know if you're ready? He says, I didn't call you to fulfill or to fill your grandfather's shoes. I called you to fill your own shoes. yeah, your grandfather, he left some great footprints on this earth. However, I gave you your own gifts, your own talents, your own abilities. As a matter of fact, I gave you a completely different assignment. Why are you upset about fulfilling his shoes? You can't fill his shoes because they were never yours to fill. So immediately, I started to feel some relief, and, I just continued to put it in God's hands. And, you know, he just showed me, he's like, you know, Keelan, you have got to release that energy. You know, you got to let those things go. Those things of the past, those things that haunt you. He's like, this is what I mean by leaving the 99. You can't have that idea floating around. You can't have any of those ideas floating around. That's why I gave you the message that I gave you last week, son. You got to let that go. And immediately, God had put in my heart, you know, this scripture, watch over your heart with all diligence. That means with the utmost priority. That means with earnest quickness. That means as if Jesus is asking you himself, he says, watch over your heart with all diligence. That word heart, that is the seat of your consciousness. That is the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. That word heart means it is the governing of whatever goes on internally. He says, watch over that thing, for from it flow the issues of life. In this particular text, it says the springs of life. In another text, it says the issues of life. So when you look at your life as it is, when you examine it, what is it that you have? What is it that you don't have? What is it that you love? What is it that you can't stand about your life as it is? He says, from your heart, that's why those things exist. You cannot perceive what is going on in your life as if it is the outside world happening. No, 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 no. He says, whatever is going on in your heart is why you see what you see. Why you experience heartache, brokenness, and rejection is because that's what's in your heart. Why you experience abandonment and you feel unloved and unwanted and unworthy, he said, that's because it's in your heart. This is why it's so important to watch over it. This is why it's so important to govern it. He says, watch over it, for from it flow the issues of life. And he says, put away you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth. Okay, so that one caught me off guard. Because I did not understand where that came from. But when you read the entire text of what I read, he's saying you need to watch over your heart. Watch what you allow into your mind. Okay? He says, why? He said, because it controls what you say. When your mind gets mixed up with the world's ideas and how they perceive God and their relationship with God and how they have formed God into their little personalized Jesus that bows down to them, it affects how you talk. You start talking deceitfully. You start talking with a misleading and lying mouth. You start putting things in a Bible that don't exist. In other words, you start telling yourself things that God never said. You start telling other people things that God never said. As a matter of fact, you continue to lie to you. And as it pertains to that, you begin to lie to other people. And so it doesn't have to be anything like it's not the devious lips that it speaks from at the end of that verse. But what it's saying is when you start allowing random things in your mind, you are not even really sure if they're your thoughts or God's thoughts. So when you begin to exercise those with your mouth and they're not God's thoughts, now they're misleading. Now they're lying. Now they're lying. That's when they become devious. Devious toward who? Devious toward you. Because you don't treat other people any differently than you treat yourself. So you're first devious to yourself. God doesn't love me. I'll never have this. I'll never be prosperous. I want this and I can't that. Those aren't God. That's not what God said. That's what you're saying. Why? Because you're not protecting your heart. You're allowing other things to control your mind. You're allowing things to penetrate your spirit that should not penetrate them. That's why Solomon says, put a deceitful and lying, misleading mouth away from you. Devious lips far from you. Keep those things away from you. You better stop speaking things that you know not of. Verse 25, he says, let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Now, when you begin to let your mind wander, and I asked somebody a question the other day, I said, how often do we hand our keys to our thought life and just let it run all day? Like, how often do you just, you entertain an idea and you let the idea drive around in your mind all day? Like, everybody's done it. Well, you entertain a negative thought, and by the time you're done having that thought, or by the time you've gotten to work, or you've gotten at the end of your 15, 20 minute drive, you have a different energy about yourself. Maybe you're upset, maybe you're angry, maybe you're sad, but you have a different energy about yourself that you shouldn't have. Why? It's because you let your mind start to wander on its own. You didn't protect your heart. You must guard the thoughts that go in there. Because if you don't, again, like I say, you speak different, you talk different. And then after it surpasses your mouth, now you start to see things different. So what do you mean? What do you mean, Keelan? Let's just say somebody is in a relationship. Relationship's not going great, right? Let's just say, your wife is being, you know, intimate with you, and you're getting upset about it. But you do notice that when you go to the gym, there's this one girl cuts her eyes at you all the time. Right. And so you're not guarding your thoughts. So in your mind, you're like, maybe if it doesn't work out, I have somewhere to go. You are entertaining thoughts you shouldn't entertain. That's why Solomon says, when you entertain those thoughts, from it flow the issues of life. Then you start saying stuff like, yeah, she don't really care about me anymore. She don't really love me anymore. And now you're trying to convince yourself to let all your thoughts align for what it is that you're starting to become deceitful about. You're lying to yourself now. And when you begin to lie to yourself, now it's easier to lie to her. And then once your mouth goes off course, so do your eyes. So you're thinking different, you're talking different, but now your perspective is different. It is no longer fixed toward, your gaze is no longer fixed toward the path of moral courage or integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet. So first your mind goes, then the truth goes, then your eyes wander, and then your feet stray off course. Never notice, like, when you drive and you see a billboard and you entertain what's on the billboard and you're looking at it, your car automatically drifts toward the billboard. It's no different than your body. Where the mind goes, the eyes, heart, and feet follow. I'm sorry, where your mind goes, your eyes and your speech and your feet follow. Everything begins to follow your thought life, for from it flow the issues of life. And so I brought this up because my mind was starting to go in a place where it wasn't supposed to go. My grandfather had just passed, and I'm entertaining thoughts that I should have no business thinking. But you just said, Keelan, that you didn't consciously know. I didn't consciously know. So at some point, at one way or another, I allowed a thought to creep in to somehow compare my biological father leaving with my grandfather leaving. That's not truth. They have nothing to do with one another. They're not even in the same bloodline. As a matter of fact, they don't even know each other. Intellectually don't know each other, let alone their subconscious don't know each other. So how is this even relevant to me? Yes, I am a mix of both of them, but I somehow, some way entertained a thought, and it was begin to have a negative effect on me physiologically. Like a negative energy pattern was vibrating in my chest because I somehow equated that, oh, this must have something to do with somebody abandoning me. That wasn't true. So that's why I'm telling you, there are certain thoughts that you are entertaining, and it is not what you think at all. We'll come back to that here in a minute. So Psalms 1, he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, when you read that, notice that the father and the son, they sound almost the same. Now, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, this is his dad I'm reading, David, in Psalms. Now, when Solomon spoke, he says, look, you need to guard your mind. Because when you begin to think different, he says, you talk different, your perspective is different, and now your walk is different. You begin to walk toward evil after you entertain the wrong thoughts. And his dad says something similar. He says, blessed, you know, is the man, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. What am I pointing out? That when you walk with the wicked, that means you had to have a shift in thought, or you had to have accepted the thought to walk with the wicked. But I don't believe he's talking about the way of the world. I think that there's a generalized context he could put to it, but notice the regression. You go from walking to standing to sitting. I'm going to say that again. You go from walking with the counsel of the wicked, which means now you're following their advice and their example. You stand in the path of sinners. So you go from walking with them to standing with them, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That word sit means down to rest. Now you're resting with people who ridicule God. Now you find, you know, this is like these are shallow thinking people, people who mock or disdain the word of God. He says, so when you're not intentional, when you're not intentional about being a man of God, you go from walking with God to standing with sinners. You sitting in the seat of scoffers. You become that which you're supposed to hate. You become that which you're supposed to distance yourself from. And that all starts with how you think. So I want to help somebody, and I pray that God gives me the right words to articulate this, because I got to rely on the Holy Spirit to do this, because this heart thing is a thing that most people don't get. This heart thing, if you don't catch it, it will take you out, because the Bible is very clear about the heart. Very clear. You know, David prayed in, I think it was Psalms 51:10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and loyal spirit within me, or steadfast, depending on which version that you're reading. You know, Solomon said, I think in Proverbs 23:15, he says, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will also be glad, which means he is so glad that his son has a grateful heart, a heart that is bent toward God. But when your heart is allowed to just roam and you allow everything to take seat in there, it messes up your walk and your perception and your perspective and how you view things and how you cooperate in life. Now, here's what I want to point out, because I don't want to get lost in what I'm trying to say. If you know me, it's very easy for me to do that. But I have to be obedient with this, because I got to give you the context, because one thing that I have set on a mission to do in ministry is to enlighten people. And I get it. I've been, you know, walking with the Lord for, you know, a while. It has not been a perfect walk. It's been a rough one. It's been a hard fought one. It's been something that has absolutely drove me nuts from time to time. And I'm going to tell you why. It is not because I literally wanted to be disobedient. It's not that I wanted to make bad choices. But if you don't understand what this Bible means by the heart, if you don't understand what it means by mind, you're going to spend a lot of your Christian life walking in circles, never really reaching your full potential. The life that you see before you today is not what you think. It's not what you think. Most people operate on this planet through their senses, how they communicate with the outside world. See, hear, smell, taste, touch. That is how they operate. How they, you know, their surface level appearance about how they feel about something. So-and-so did this, so I did that. Everything is about surface level, which is why it's so easy to be judgmental. because you never think below the surface. Everything that that we think, or, you know, when we're not keeping guard over our heart, when we're not watching what goes in our subconscious mind, that's what the Bible's talking about. Again, the seat of your emotions, your subconscious mind, when you're not watching that thing closely, it tends to act on its own. As a matter of fact, it does act on its own. Okay, you must watch it. You must watch it carefully, because here's what happens. Now, if I told you that this subconscious mind, it runs 24/7, it doesn't stop. If you read up the science on that, that is absolutely true, 100%. It never stops thinking. Never. As a matter of fact, it is a thing that governs your health, well-being, your blood flow, your heartbeat, the way you breathe, all your biological functions. That is controlled by your subconscious mind. Now, its other job is to feel. Your conscious mind is how you perceive things, how food tastes, your experience with your loved one. It is how you, again, how you interpret the outside world. Your subconscious mind just tells you how you feel about it. Conscious mind, it is your rational thinking mind. It makes choices. It makes decisions. It desires things. It has goals and aspirations. Your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between anything for the most part. It just knows to feel. It cannot determine if you are being robbed in your mind or if you're being robbed in the physical life form. It can't tell the difference. It can't tell the difference if you imagine being shot or if you're actually being shot. It perceives them the exact same way. You don't have to take my word for it. You can waste time studying it. I'm just telling you what's true. Your subconscious mind only knows to feel. But you also have to understand that your subconscious mind is, it's also the key to manifestation. Okay? So what I mean by that is it is responsible for making your dreams become a reality. Now, let me paint this picture for you as well. That faith works both ways. It works for positive and it works for negative. See, in church, it is only preached as faith for good things. Faith also works for the bad things as well. And here's what I'm saying is that if you believe something to be true, it shall happen. That is your subconscious's job. That is your heart's job. It is to manifest the real belief. Okay. And so what I do with my coaching and my teaching is I help people identify the root cause of their current life issue, the challenge or the obstacle, right? Because when our heart is running amok and our thoughts are running amok and we're perceiving one thing and it's not the truth, what happens is we end up with a bunch of life challenges that are a result of our mechanism, a coping mechanism. Because we don't understand what's going on, and because we don't understand what's going on, we begin to take on things to actually pad the hurt. We put on a mask. Okay? That is what I teach. You know, the other part of that is to reveal their true identity and try to restore balance, you know, and canceling out the negative patterns that they're feeling. That little negative energy that I was telling you guys about, those things end up creating self-sabotaging habits. Because those are formed out of limiting beliefs or lying beliefs, and those only exist within the subconscious mind. That only exists within your heart. So imagine, you know, and again, I'm going to use myself as an example. You know, every human, it really is faced with two main problems. One is the surface situation. No matter what it is you're dealing with, whether it's circumstances or events that appear to be the source of your stress, fear, worry, depression, heartache, whatever it is, that's the surface situation. These are your day-to-day struggles and challenges with like finances, relationships, health problems, etc. The other problem is exposing what's really going on in the unseen realm and correcting the cause of your life issues at the issues or the surface symptoms at the source, right? And so what happens when we get these these personal development programs or these self-help books, they're only really coaching how to fix the surface symptom. Why are you just medicating the symptom when there's a root cause to the problem? This is what is really wrong with the health industry, because they make billions and billions of dollars off dealing with the surface issue and not dealing with the root cause of the issue. For example, you give somebody cholesterol medicine to fix cholesterol. You're just fixing the surface issue without dealing with the root of the problem. So everybody has a choice. People can accept what they're hearing or they can reject it. Because the opportunity at hand with what I'm teaching right now is to move past merely treating your symptom of your life with more coping skills or defense mechanisms. That doesn't do you any good. Because what happens is, you avoid things, you go to counseling, or you use personal growth techniques, formulas, modalities, sometimes even prayer or trying to do more church to fix the problem. But you can only fix this what I call toxic thinking at the roots. And when we talk about the root, we're talking about what is the source or cause of your pain. What is causing the thought? Because you need to be looking beyond your senses of the perception that you have. Because if you're looking at your life as it is, you're focusing on that to be the real. Okay, so let me say this. Yes, you are experiencing what's going on in your life right now. But it only exists because of what's going on with what you can't see. Okay, I'm going to try to make that make sense. The things that you see only exist because of what you can't see. I know it's baking my noodle too as I'm saying it. What you're perceiving right now at a real level only exists because of what's going on in the unseen. Your Bible teaches this. This is not hocus pocus. This is not magic. You read your Bible. It talks about what is seen and what is not seen. There are two different realities happening simultaneously. What you're seeing in the physical realm is a direct result of what is going on within your heart. Somewhere along the way, at a subconscious level, this is your belief system. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you can go and research it. Let's say the word epigenetics. Every human being was born with 50% of their lineage's belief system. That means from your mother, father, grandparents, great-great-grandparents, going back to 7 generations, you are born with 50% of their belief system. That is what is inside of you. And so, we can do the math. If you do my program, you'll learn that 6 months prior to conception, up to 2 years after you were born, that's another 15%. Between the ages of 2 and 8, what you are not consciously aware of is happening around you, that's another 15%. You have 80% of your belief system already formed, and you're all of 8 years old. Now, what you experience between the ages of 9 and 17, these are all defense mechanisms giving meaning to what you perceived as an attack against you. That's a lot to unpack. So I'm going to say this again. What you are experiencing right now in your heart, in your spirit, in your reality, it is not what you think it is. It is something deeper. See, this is a different cause and effect relationship between you and your experiences. This is a different cause and effect relationship between what you see and what you can't see. You read in the Bible, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. No. You got to twist it. This is different. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. What is actually going on, like I said, in your physical reality is happening in you simultaneously. See, when you realize what's been pulling your emotional strings and behind the source of your pain in life, these all have to deal with a distorted self-perception. This is what we call the identity crisis. Like, this is the heart of all human suffering. This is the heart of all toxic thinking. And this is why what drives me nuts is that sometimes, in, like I said, in our walk with Christ, this is what breaks the camel's back, is because you walk in circle and circle and circle, and you try to pray over it. You try to shout more. You do all these religious practices. And I'm not saying they don't work to an extent, but what I'm saying is they don't reveal the root. And sometimes you get a what we call an accidental miracle, where you find out what the root of it is, and it's fixed and it's healed, and you get to live the life that you want to live. But that's not the case for most people. Most people spend their entire walk with Christ completely aloof, completely aloof. And see, what we know through neuroscience and human psychology is this: the strongest psychological human drive is to behave consistently with the belief that you have about yourself. If the belief you have about yourself is inaccurate, then the result, thoughts, feelings, and behaviors toward yourself will be negative and self-destructive. Some of these things will be obvious, however, the majority of them are unconscious. Either way, your life experience will lack fulfillment, and you'll be constantly searching to fix the problem, which is to discover your true identity. And this is what we press so hard for God to do for us, is to help us find our true identity. Why does this hurt so bad? God, why do I always experience heartbreak? Why is the theme of my life somebody's always leaving me? Because I told you, I started to go victim. I started to rationalize that my grandfather and my father had something to deal with the pain that I was feeling. It had absolutely nothing to do with that. It was the meaning that I gave the experience of my father walking out on me that was causing the pain. Had nothing to do with my grandfather going to heaven. Actually had nothing to do with my father walking out of my life. Because the root of all human suffering is that one scenario, that particular situation felt bad. And because it felt bad, you had to give it a meaning. You had to make it say, this must mean something about me. And it absolutely does not. So I'm going to say it again. It is not what you think that is causing your pain. It's much deeper than that. Most people don't know this, but I still get a lot of requests for me to help them, for me to coach them in health and fitness. And what breaks my heart is that everybody's willing to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to fix the exterior, thinking that it will provide some level of confidence, some level of hope, some level of self-acceptance, and it does not. I've helped people lose 50 pounds, 80 pounds, over 100 pounds. But at the end of the day, when we are done training, they somehow find the weight. Why is that? It is because they have never seen themselves any different. Their self-perception is still distorted. Still don't think they're good enough. Still view themselves as unlovable. Still view themselves as never going to achieve anything. Still think of themselves as unattractive. They still have all these lying, limiting beliefs. Still. Which tells you what? That nothing we did in the physical changed that which we could not see. I cannot see a person's thoughts. I just see what their thoughts reflect on the outside. Jesus says you can judge a tree by the fruit. You can judge a tree by its fruit. See, I want you guys to understand that when I say it's not what you think, I want you guys to understand that God gave each and every one of you a talent, a gift, an ability, a course to walk. But most people will never find it. Most people will never find it because they are committed to dealing with the things that they can see and not the things that they can't see. And had I not pray to God and say, God, please show me what it is going on. Because I can't see my thoughts. I can't yet. You can imagine things, but that's surface conscious mind. That's the frontal lobe doing that work. It's the subconscious mind that paints my reality. Here's what you guys got to understand about quantum physics and what goes on between quantum physics and your subconscious mind. Is God gave you such a powerful thing with the subconscious mind that the universe responds to what is currently on its mind. A person who was abused as a child ends up finding themselves in an abusive relationship. It is not uncommon for a young boy or a young girl who grew up without a mother or a father to become lesbian or homosexual because they don't have an identity. Or for somebody's perception to be skewed about men, that they develop a depraved mind to fall in love with the same sex. That's not uncommon. And they identify with, this is who I am. No, this is just a defense mechanism because you're hurt. And you don't know what's causing the pain. You don't know what caused the confusion. The only thing that you can make sense is to go along with this hovering thought in your subconscious mind that this must be where I can be accepted. The view of yourself is distorted. Because I've heard people who are gay or homosexual, whatever you want to call it. I've heard people say, well, yeah, I love God. And I'm not saying that they don't. God loves me the way that I am. God loves the you that he created. He don't love the you that you're pretending to be. That's calling him a liar. He didn't make any mistakes when he sent you down here. He didn't say, oh, I meant to make him a girl and her a boy. He didn't do that. And I'm not bashing anybody. Please don't look. That is not my aim here. I've had, clients who have been gay or homosexual. I've had clients. Look, we've been friends. Let's not get it twisted. We've been friends. So I'm not bashing them at all because they're people. These are still God's children. I don't care what you say about them. They're still God's children. So I love them no matter what, but they do know where I stand. So don't get that twisted. But I only use that as an example because that doesn't have any difference even as it pertains to myself. Like, I spent years lost trying to find myself. Years lost. Drug dealing, promiscuity. Look, I can't stand the taste of beer, drinking, going to parties that I never felt comfortable at. Giving away the best parts of myself to people I didn't even care about. And I don't say that in a mean sense. Like, I just didn't know how to care about people. I didn't know how to love myself. And when you don't know how to love yourself, you'll do just about anything to feel something. You'll do just about anything to be accepted. You'll do just about anything to fit in somewhere when you don't know who you are. So all these things that you're going through, the depression that you're feeling, yo, it's not what you think. It is not his fault. It is not her fault. It is not your dad's fault. It is not your mom's fault. It's not your mom's fault. It's not their fault. And there are, in some cases, yeah, they may have hurt you, yes. But it's your responsibility to act on what you know. And that source of pain and human discomfort, it comes from ignorance. And I, right now, I'm shining a light. And I hope you get it. Because for me to be in this position and to love people the way that I do, I cannot sit back and not say anything. I just want you to know that the source of your pain, it's not what you think it is. It's not that you're so far gone that you can't be loved. It's not that you're so far gone that nobody loves you. That's not true. That's not true at all. And I hate to sound cliche, but God does love you. God does care for you. There was a Savior who did die for you. God himself sent his one and only son to hang on a cross for you. Yes, he did. And I get it. You're wanting it in the physical sense. I get it. You are craving human touch, human affection. But I promise you, that's not the source of your healing. Because man is fickle. They can't be committed to you as much as God is committed to you. Name somebody else who's willing to be sacrificed for you. Name somebody else who would nail themselves to a cross. Name somebody else who would have their side pierced and their beer ripped out by the handfuls. Name somebody else who's willing to endure that kind of public ridicule. To be hung naked in front of their mockers, in front of their haters. Name somebody who's willing to do that for you. Yep, I know you guys said you do at the altar, but I promise you, push come to shove, I don't imagine him being sacrificed on the cross for you or her. I'm just saying what you're feeling, it's not that. It's not that. What I teach in my groups and in my classes, I promise you, once you realize, guys, the people who've hurt you, they're hurt too. So God says, don't be so judgmental, like they're hurt too. We're all hurting. I said this the other day, this is how hurt people, because we're a bunch of folks walking around with no identity. No clue of who we are. No clue of what we're capable of. And I get it. I understand your only way to make sense is to do the drugs. I get it. But just please put an expiration date on it. I know it feels good for the moment to lay up under him, to feel needed and wanted and to feel loved, but put an expiration date on it. That life only lasts so long, I promise you. I know the liquor, it tastes good. And for a moment, you forget about the fact that you were abused, and you forget about the fact that you don't know what gender you really are, and you forget about the public ridicule for that moment until the bottle's gone, and you wake up with a headache, and you're vomiting, and you don't know where you are, and you're scared. Yo, it's, guys, I promise you, it's only temporary. The pain is not what you think. It's not what you think. And so what I'm trying to tell you guys is that you don't have to live in the dark anymore. Like, you don't have to. You didn't know that you were being conditioned for this process. You didn't know that you were developing these defenses and compensations for where you've been hurt in childhood. You didn't know. These emotional and physical traumatic experiences that you've experienced, look, these are these survival mechanisms. They develop a repertoire that you were unaware of. And these cause inaccurate perceptions about yourself, distorted self-images, self-sabotaging behaviors that, look, they just only allow you to cope with what feels safe at the moment. Just at the moment. But at a certain point, they don't serve you anymore. How you're feeling is not the truth about you. It's the lie. Like, God views you in such a way. No other human can look at you that way. And so my prayer for you is that as you hear this, that the Holy Spirit just touch your heart, touch your mind. Because I just want you guys to know, look, it's not your fault. You're not a bad person. I promise you, you're not a bad person. You just don't know how to deal with it. Like me, I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with the hurt. I didn't know how to deal with any of it. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. Even after I gave my life to Christ, I was still aloof a bit. All they kept telling me was read the Bible, read the word, read the word. Yeah, okay, I don't understand it. And so I get it, guys. And so I'm committing myself to help you find you. Like when I found me, best experience ever. And I'm trying to help you find yourself. Look, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. Look, I gave you guys my email, Keelan@nochainsonme.com. That's chains with a Z. Look, send me your prayer request, man. Send me your prayer request. Like, my heart breaks for you. Like, this is not what you think it is. It's not. I promise you, it's not. I don't want you waking up one day thinking, where am I? I've done it way too many times, and I don't want that for you. It seems like it's hard to stop, but I promise you, I'm committing myself to walk through this with you. Like, you're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. Like, I got people in my corner. They'll lock arms with me. We'll pray for you. I promise we will. If you want out, if you really want out, you know where to find me. I've given you my email address. I've told you where to find the podcast. I've told you where to drop a message. Look me up on Facebook, Keelan Martin, or type in No Chains on Me. That's the only one with an S. Facebook. You know where to find me. So I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit plant this seed where it may fall. God, wherever you send this word, I pray that this is the beginning of healing. I pray this is the beginning of surrender, of the life that they don't want to be a part of. They've been misled. They've been misguided. They've been hurt. They've been used. They've been abused. This is not what they think it is, God. They've been lied to. The enemy has lied to them. This is not,
This is not you. It's not you. Father God, I pray for those who are hearing and those who are listening, that they know that they have an advocate. They have a Savior in Christ and a God who loves them. And they have an advocate, a brother in me, who's in their corner, who's willing to fight with them and pray for them and show them the path of righteousness through the word of God, through the gifts and power that you've given me, Father God. I just pray that this falls in the right hands, the right minds, the right hearts, Father God. Have your way with them. I thank you and I love you, Father God, for this word to do its thing according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yo, my bad. I got emotional again. It's all right. But I love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. I'll see y'all next week for episode 34. Peace.